Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've entitled The Believer's Authority, and today is the beginning of my third week of teaching on this. I've already covered a lot of material in this, and there's no way I can go back and summarize everything. I would like to encourage you to please get the materials that we're offering. I have a brand new book out on this. We have a study guide. We have DVDs, CDs. There's a lot of ways that you can get this teaching. And what I was sharing last week is something that I've never heard anybody else teach. I'm not saying that other people don't have this revelation and don't teach it. I'm just saying I've never heard anybody teach it. And the main point that I've been trying to get across is that when we are talking about using our authority, of course, we use it against the devil, and you have to know your enemy. You have to know what power and authority he has. And most believers think that Satan is a supernatural, superhuman being. And I believe that Lucifer was created by God as an angelic being. And we used a lot of scriptures on these things last week, especially Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 14. I won't go back over all that, but the basis of what I was saying was that he had these supernatural powers, but he didn't rebel at God prior to the Garden of Eden. I believe his rebellion took place in the Garden of Eden because he had no authority against man. This is why in Genesis chapter 3, you see that he didn't come and use a mammoth or a lion or a tiger or something to intimidate Adam and Eve. Instead, he used a serpent to deceive them, the most subtle animal that God had created, because he had no power to force them to do anything. And when Adam and Eve submitted unto Satan, they are the ones that empowered Satan. In a sense, man made Satan. God created Lucifer, but man made Satan. Psalms chapter 82, verse 6 says, Jesus even quoted this in the New Testament, and he says, "Are ye not all gods?" And he was talking about mankind, not gods in the sense that capital G, that we are divine, but we had absolute control over this earth. And when mankind turned around and yielded to Satan, then they are the ones that created Satan. They made him the god of this world. And the significance of all of this, here's the main point, is that this empowered Satan with human power and authority, not a supernatural, superhuman power and authority. And see, most Christians really believe that Satan is this strong, formidable force. I believe that Satan had no power and authority. Any of his angelic, superhuman power could not be used against us. He stole through deception with our consent. Eve was deceived, but the scripture says over in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that Adam wasn't deceived, but Eve was deceived, and the man was the one that was really in the transgression. And so Adam willingly submitted himself unto Satan so that he could stay with Eve, his wife. And what this did was take the authority and the power that God gave to mankind and transmitted it to Satan. And again, the significance of that is that Satan is using only human power and authority. And this human power and authority was given to people with physical bodies. Since Satan is a spirit, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says, talking about the angels, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation?" And so an angel is a spirit being, doesn't have a physical body. That's the reason that demons have to have a physical body to work through. Of course, they prefer a human body because the people, mankind, was given the superior authority. But did you know that even like in Mark chapter 5, where Jesus cast the demons out of this man Legion, who was demon-possessed, those demons begged Jesus to let them enter into a pig. Why? Because a pig has more authority than the devil because it has a physical body. A slug, a worm, amen, fungus has more power than the, or let me rephrase that, more authority than the devil because it has a physical form. And once you understand this, it really reduces Satan and his power, and you recognize that without our consent and cooperation, Satan can do nothing. Now, that needs a little footnote to it, because even though you may not be cooperating with the devil, there's plenty of other people who are cooperating with the devil, and so the devil can still hurt you because other people submit. But if no one was submitting to the devil, Satan is absolutely powerless and has zero authority apart from us. It is human power and authority that Satan has been using against the human race. Now, that is a quick summary of what I've said all last week. And again, if you've missed any of this, you really need to get this teaching, specifically the teaching that is entitled, Who Made Satan? And let me just say that the Scripture says in John 4:24 that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. Satan, Lucifer, an angelic being, was a spirit. They do not have physical bodies, either God or the devil. And this is the reason that God, to be honest and trustworthy and true to His promise that He gave authority over this earth to mankind, could not or would not just come down and wipe the slate clean and start all over and fix this thing. He gave power and authority to physical human beings, and God was a spirit, and so God wasn't physical. And this is why He has allowed Satan to run rampant up until the time that Jesus came. And even after Jesus came and bought back our authority and power, God shares this power and authority with physical human beings, and He has to flow through us. Now, I said a mouthful right there, more than what probably most people got. And so I'm going to go back and just slow down and make some of these points. If you understand what I've said up to this point, then I tell you what, this has the potential of answering a lot of questions. You know, some people don't even think this way, but I remember that for years, ever since I was a little kid, I always wondered, Lord, why did You wait 4,000 years from the fall of Adam until the time that Jesus came to redeem the world? Those people during those 4,000 years, they didn't have the same benefits. There wasn't the same salvation. There was an oppression under the devil that these people could not get rid of in a way that New Testament believers don't have to deal with these kind of things. And so I had this question, Lord, why did it take 4,000 years? Another question of mine was, God, why did You have to send Jesus? When I got a revelation of the suffering that He went through, and how much He hated becoming sin, and I saw how this grieved God, and I began to get a revelation of that. One of the questions was, why did You do it this way? You're God. Couldn't You have done anything? And the answer to both of these really comes back to this teaching on authority. I've used this verse before, but in Psalms chapter 89, verse 34, it says, My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of My lips. When God gave authority over this earth to physical human beings, then God basically took Himself out of the loop. He said, you, physical human beings, you have authority, you rule, you subdue, you are in control. Now, God as owner could have come down here and have destroyed the earth. I believe He could have started over. But if He wanted to keep this earth and keep the men that He had created alive, then He had to honor the word that He had given it. It was a covenant. It had gone out of His lips and He wouldn't break it. And since He was a spirit, He no longer could just come down and interfere and change the way that man was running the earth. He gave that authority to him. And so now this answers both of those questions I was talking about. The reason it took 4,000 years for Jesus to come into manifestation and for God to redeem us and to buy us back and put us back in charge is because when He created the first Adam, He was in absolute control. He hadn't delegated authority yet to anybody else. And so He was able to just say, let us make man in our image. Notice that in Genesis chapter 1, I believe it's verse 26, 27, 28, those three verses right there, it says that God spoke man into existence. That's the way He created the worlds. That's the way He said, let there be light. He said, let the earth bring forth all of these trees and animals and all of this. He spoke everything into existence. And when he had absolute authority and power, he hadn't delegated it yet to his creation, he just spoke Adam and Eve into existence and they came into being. But after he had created them, he turned the control, the authority to rule and to dominate this earth over to physical human beings. And now that mankind had yielded themselves to the devil, how was he going to create the second Adam, as it mentions over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? One that didn't have sin flowing through his blood. It had to be a virgin birth. He needed the physical body, but he needed to be sinless. And so there needed to be another creation, similar to the way that Adam was created. But God no longer was in absolute control, so he couldn't just speak him into existence. What he had to do was flow through people and get people to speak the things that needed to be said so that Jesus could come into this earth. Now, this is major. This is really, really important. I know that you're having to think, and sometimes people want to just watch something and be entertained, but you need to think about this. God gave control over this earth to physical human beings. Therefore, he could not just, boom, create Jesus. What he had to do was speak to the spirit of people, and as they would believe and respond to him, then they would prophetically utter these words and speak forth things. And I could go through and show you literally dozens, probably hundreds of scriptures that were necessary to be spoken by people for Jesus' physical body to be created. There's a lot of them. Like, for instance, in Isaiah chapter 7 are some of the most amazing where Isaiah prophesied and said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son." And you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And it goes on and it prophesies all of these things. It had to be prophesied that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. It had to be prophesied all of the things that Isaiah said in chapter 52 and 53 about that he was wounded for our transgressions. And all of these things needed to be prophesied. God spoke Adam into existence. He was no longer absolutely in control over the earth. He had given that control to man. And so now he had to speak to the spirits of men and get man to speak forth these words that were necessary to create the second Adam. And the problem is, just like Isaiah, I am amazed that Isaiah was strong enough in his faith to stand up before a king and boldly proclaim that a virgin is going to conceive. Did you know that that's just radical to the max? Man, I'm glad that God isn't having me go on nationwide television and say that a virgin is going to have a child, because you know what? People would just ridicule that. And yet, when Isaiah said it, it had never been conceived before. Nobody had ever talked about a virgin having a child. This was a radical statement, and Isaiah had to have a lot of faith to be able to speak forth that word. And God had to speak through Jeremiah. There were prophecies about from Jeremiah, and all of the prophets and all of these things had to be spoken about Jesus. And the reason I believe that it took 4,000 years from the fall of Adam until the time of Jesus is because no one person was in communion with God enough to get everything that needed to be said. They didn't have enough faith to speak it all forth. The scripture says, Paul said, that we only know in part and we prophesy in part. God had to take literally dozens or hundreds of people over 4,000 years period of time, and each one of them would get a little piece, a little part of the puzzle, and they would speak forth what God was speaking to them. And the reason it took 4,000 years for Jesus to come on the scene is because it took 4,000 years for God to find enough people who would yield to him, who would speak, and who would deliver the words that needed to be said, God-inspired words, to create this physical body of the Lord Jesus. Boy, that is a powerful truth. And here's another thing, and you know, I've got teaching on this that goes into hours worth. I'm saying these things very quickly. But this is how the virgin birth of Jesus came to pass too. Let me turn over and just read some of these verses in Luke chapter 1. It talks about how that the angel came and appeared unto Mary and prophesied to her and said she would have a child. And she says, how's this going to be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost, this is in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Some translations say that no word of God is without power of fulfillment. And anyway, Mary says, how's this going to be? And he says, the power of the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you are going to supernaturally conceive. And then he says, no word from God is without power of fulfillment, or with God nothing is impossible. And look at Mary's response. She said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, this is a major point, too. I pray that you're really listening to this. You know what really happened at the virgin birth? The virgin birth was totally normal, natural. There was nothing supernatural about it except the way that the conception took place. Instead of a man planting a seed, God's word was the seed. And this is exactly what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God that lives and abides forever. It says that the word of God is an incorruptible seed. And so what this angel did, all of these men throughout history, over 4,000 years period of history, had been inspired by God, had spoken in the power of the Holy Ghost, and had released their little portion of what God gave them to say. Then Gabriel came to Mary and said, you're going to conceive. She says, how's this going to be? And he says, it's going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary received the word and said, so be it unto me according to thy word. And the Holy Spirit took all of these God-inspired words that were spoken by dozens or hundreds of people over 4,000 period of years, took those words and literally put the Word of God in Mary's womb, impregnated her, and the Word became the seed. And this is exactly why the Scripture says over in John chapter 1 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's really very appropriate to call Jesus the Word, because God spoke Him into existence through dozens or possibly 100 different people over a 4,000-year period of time. The Holy Spirit took these words and impregnated Mary. Now, that was the supernatural, human part of it. And then from that time on, after the conception took place, the rest of the virgin birth was completely normal and natural. It was the fact that the Word became the seed. Now that is a powerful truth. Now this answers those two questions. Why did it take 4,000 years? Because God didn't have one person who was so yielded to Him that He could just receive everything and speak as God. People got little bits and pieces over 4,000 years period of time, and it took that long for God to find the right people to say the things necessary that it could, that when He created Adam, He just spoke and said, let us, and boom, it happened. But now that He was no longer directly in control, but He was having to flow through people, took 4,000 years, dozens, maybe 100 people, for Him to speak all of these things through. And then the Holy Spirit took that and impregnated Mary. And this also answers, why did Jesus have to become a man? Why couldn't God have done it some other way? It's because God is a spirit, and only men, physical human beings, had a power and authority on this earth. Look at this verse over in John chapter 5. Jesus is giving a defense of Himself and people were saying, what authority do you have to do this? And Jesus said in John chapter 5 and in verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. This term Son of Man always refers to the humanity, the physical side of Jesus. The term Son of God refers to the divinity side of Jesus. So he's saying here, the reason I have authority to execute judgment is because of this physical body. So this answers that question. Why did Jesus have to become a man? Couldn't God have done things other way? No, because God is a spirit. God had to become a man to come down here into this domain and have power and authority. There was no man because that could redeem themselves or the human race, because every man had been corrupted themselves. They were born in sin. So God had to conceive a sinless man. He had to become a man and come down here so that he could deal on this plane and now have authority. And now the devil was in big trouble, because here's God who, you know, I used this example last week that in a sense, Satan used mankind like a hostage and said, God, if you get me, you know, you're going to have to destroy them also. They willingly submitted unto me. But now God himself became one of the hostages. And now God had the authority to deal with Satan. And I mean, Jesus destroyed, defeated Satan on every level. Satan made the huge mistake of crucifying Jesus and took him to hell. And when Jesus went down into the lower parts of the earth, I mean, he came out of hell. He destroyed Satan, not only here in this physical earth, but he went down into the lowest parts of the earth. He defeated Satan and he came out with the keys of death and of hell dangling on his side. And then he told his disciples, he says, all authority in heaven and in earth is given unto me. See, God originally had all authority, but then he delegated that authority to mankind. Mankind screwed it all up by yielding to the devil. And when they did, in a sense, God was shielded from coming and fixing things because he was a spirit and didn't have this physical body. But when he became a physical human being, then Jesus said, now I have authority to execute judgment upon the devil because of this physical body. And now Satan had lost his shield. He had lost his hostage. His hostage had turned out to be God. And God just put it to the devil. Man, I love that stuff. And you know what? Again, I know that what I've said here is different than what most people think. You have to use your mind. This isn't just something that you mindlessly listen to and it somehow or another inspires you. But if you will go to the effort to meditate on this and think about this, it'll answer questions for you. And there are some other applications as we go on through this teaching that this is going to really show you how that we as believers have authority, and with this authority comes responsibility. So I tell you, it's going to make a big difference in your life. Again, the things that I've said today, I go into much more detail on these materials. As a matter of fact, our DVD set is from a recent teaching that I did in Atlanta, Georgia. And I actually, the things that I talked about in this one 30-minute program today, I actually spent over an hour dealing with this one segment. So if you were to get the DVD set on the believer's authority, it would explain this portion of it in much more detail. So if you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you information about all of these materials. Call or write today.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T327 when you write or call, or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. Request book T735. The Believer's Authority Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T427 when you contact the ministry. Andrew's complete teaching titled The Believer's Authority was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount. Request DVD album T3205D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching As Seen on TV. It's available on either CD or DVD when you send a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1045C or DVD album T1045D when you contact us. The second teaching in the audio CD album titled Who Made Satan is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching number TL19 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Let me remind you that today is the last day that I'm going to offer this second teaching in this six-part set that's entitled Who Made Satan? Now, we'll continue to offer the album on the Believer's Authority, and we've got the study guide, we've got the brand-new book that's out. I've got the CDs, the DVDs. We're going to continue to offer all of those materials, but we also make each individual CD in this set available as a gift to those who could not or would not send any money to get it. And today is the last day we're going to make this second teaching in this series entitled Who Made Satan available as a free gift. So I encourage you to listen to our announcer and call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar May 7th through the 9th, and in Amsterdam, Holland for the Eurospirit Conference May 21st through the 23rd. He'll also be in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth seminar June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd for our Summer Family Bible Conference.
My first trip, I'd been there 7 months, and the Lord had asked me, how long will you give Russia? And I remember thinking, I want to go to the other nations, Lord. I mean, really, the nations are on my heart. I don't want to be stuck in Russia my whole life.